Crystal leave? Okay. She was having a rough morning, asked if we'd pray for her. So I think I will do that before I get started. I better pray for myself that I figure out what day it is. Oh, there she is. Okay. You gonna come up here? All right. She just asked that we'd pray for her. She's having a rough day, so I want to have a word of prayer for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day, thankful for your Spirit, and I pray right now as we've not only invited you, we know you're here, but Lord, we are opening our hearts to you and inviting you in to have your way with us. And I pray for Crystal right now that you will make your presence known to her, that she will feel you and sense you in her heart and in her soul, and know that you love her and you are caring for her. I pray for this service now, Lord. I pray as I speak, as I open your word, Lord, I can't honor your word the way I want to without your Spirit. So I pray that you will do what you need to do with your word through this, your vessel, and honor yourself with the honor that you deserve. You are worthy, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. It's good to be back. Casey, thank you again for pitch hitting. I heard you did a good job. That's awesome. That is awesome. So we have come to a place in our scripture, and I'm still dividing and chewing and looking at John 15, the vine, the branches, the gardener. And so we've made our way through that first 11 verses, and we've now come to this little section down near the end of that. But I still have some more things to think about in this story and in this scripture. This night that Jesus would begin that journey to the cross. Last night, I couldn't sleep. Terry and I had worked out in the yard all day, and as some of you know, once you hit a certain age, all of a sudden you lay down and the eyeballs go like that and you start feeling pains that you didn't know you had. And my hip was hurting and I don't even know why. And so I'm laying there and it's 12:30, 1 o'clock. Finally, I'm tossing and I'm getting up. I'm just going to get up. I'm going to go read, go out in the living room, and I'm reading. And so I'm sitting there reading this new book I have, and I'm looking up, and it's 2 o'clock, 2:30, and I'm like, man, I am never, never, never awake in my living room reading at 2:30 in the morning. You know, you can hear when a car's coming and when a car's going, or it's a truck or it's a motorcycle, and you're kind of thinking to yourself, who is out at 2:30 in the morning driving up and down this road? You know, here comes a motorcycle of all things. I'm like, what are you doing? There's just not much happening. And you look out the window and you see there's nothing moving out there. The raccoons, they're not even moving anymore. And I mean, it's just a weird time of the night. And I'm just kind of feeling way out of place, as a matter of fact. And so I think about this story, because it was in the middle of the night when Jesus walked across that valley, prayed, was arrested, went to this mock trial, all happening through those like overnight hours. And I'm just thinking to myself, what is going on here? How I couldn't function. My brain was way out of place. I can only imagine how these guys felt with all this going on through the middle of the night in those overnight hours. It was just a strange, out-of-place time, but Jesus had prepared them. Jesus had been teaching them. And when they went to this upper room, it says that having loved his own, he loved them to the end. I'm trying to figure out how he loved them to the end, because it sounds to me like he was teaching. I mean, that's what they did. They had supper. They did what we would call a communion. I mean, he was talking and teaching, giving them this discourse. To the end, he was preparing them for what was going to happen in the middle of the night. When we get to this last part, verse 9, he all of a sudden changes kind of from the vine and the branches to love. And that may sound like a strange thing to talk about in before you go to this middle of the night experience, but he said some things about love that we need to think about. And just because you're about ready to walk into the middle of the night in a riot, in an arrest, in total chaos, we need to know we're loved before you and I walk into the middle of the night, into our life, into total chaos, what may be just hours away. We need to know about the love of God. We need to know how much we're loved. And so Jesus, not really left the idea of the vine and the branches, just incorporating it in, begins to teach them about love. Now this is what I'm going to say to you. I'm going to throw out a lot of the cliche. I'm going to throw out a lot of the stuff that we've heard, and I'm going to be real honest with you about this love of God. I'm just going to put us into more of a realistic place with the love of God, and I'm going to be happy to do that. I don't have to give you every pat college answer, every pat college description, everything you've heard Charles Stanley, Andy Stanley, Billy Stanley, and anybody else say. I'm just going to throw all that out, and we're just going to talk real honestly about God's love, okay? And then if you have questions, feel free, because so do I. We're just going to happily settle right there. But we need to know how much we're loved in a real way, in a truthful way, in an honest way, before we step out into this life, and some of us will step into chaos very shortly. So John chapter 15, verse 9, let me just give you what Jesus gave to them. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Stay, remain, continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide, remain, stay in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide, continue, stayed in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That's it. Now he's going to come back to fruit. He's going to come back to some of this subject. So he hasn't left it. It's just important that we stay in it. The first phrase in verse 9 is where I want to start. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. So let's think about that. As the Father has loved me, as God the Father has loved Jesus. You need to see this agape love. And that's the word, right? You've heard it. You know it. Agape love. You need to know that this agape love comes from the Father. Didn't originate here. It came from Him. He loved Jesus, the Son, and now Jesus is saying, I'm passing it on to you. Agape loving you, okay? And this is where we struggle. We begin to try and think through this agape love. What is this agape love? Well, it's obviously a love from beyond. It's a love that starts there with Him. It begins in our Gospels. God so loved the world. God so agape loved the world. Wasn't us. It didn't start with us. Nowhere in the scripture. Agape love began there beyond this life, and it came here. God so loved the world, He sent His Son. So this is a love beyond. It's a love beyond the physical. We have a word for that in the New Testament. It's eros. It's physical love. It's what our society and our country and our world knows so much about. Everything they do is physical. It's love. It's love. It's make love. It's love. You read it, you hear about it, they sing about it. Physical love, eros, it's not that, it's beyond that. It's beyond a brotherly love. And I'll be honest with you, most of what we do here is brotherly love. When someone comes into our congregation, you warmly shake their hand and you smile. Maybe you give them a little hug. Maybe, man, I'm so glad. That's brotherly love. It's loving each other like we're brothers. And we need that. We need to love each other in this room like we are family. Old and young, across the board, we need a brotherly love. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, since you've been born again to a brotherly love, now it's time to love each other earnestly, sincerely, from a pure heart. And that what he said was you need to advance now. He used the word agape love. Now that you've been born again and you know how to love each other like brothers and sisters, take it up a notch to agape love. That's what he said. It's exactly what he said. Literally what he said. So this love is a love from beyond. Agape love. It's hard to define. I can give you a college definition. I can give you this person's definition or that person's definition. And I'm just going to be real honest with you. It is hard. It is hard to define. It's hard for us to wrap our mind around agape love. It came from Him. He sent His Son. It's beyond physical and beyond this brotherly, warm, you're my brother, you're my sister, it's hard to define this. And if you start reading and looking up definitions for agape love, you're going to find variations. I really think the honest thing to say about it is that it's hard for humanity to define it. It really is hard for us to put it in a box or a can. We know it's sacrificial. It's something of giving. He gave His Son. We know there was sacrifice. He left His home in heaven and came here to live here, came to die on a cross. Jesus told His disciples this night, He said, having loved them, He loved them to the end. So He was loving them here. He was teaching them. He was sacrificing. He was about to pay the biggest sacrifice on the cross. So we know that it's something like that. But we're told to love each other that way. And most of us aren't going to die on a cross for each other. So it's really hard to define this love that God has for us, this love that came from Him, went to Jesus, and is passed on now to the writers of the Scripture, and now He's telling us we are loved with agape love. It's unconditional. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's really a big, powerful, heavenly love from beyond that it's hard for me to give you just a pat answer for. What is it? This much I know. It's a love beyond how we're being treated. That much I know. The love that the Father, God, has for you and for me is beyond how the world is treating us. It's beyond how the culture is treating us. Now look at Jesus, right? He was treated poorly. The disciples were treated poorly. He had 11 of them here in this room. And he's loving them, and I'm going to love you. And at the same point, what's he tell them? Chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. But I still love you. I still love you. The Father still loves you. What's he say? The world hates you. They hated me, but I love you. So I can say to you, the Father, God, Jesus, loves you with a love from beyond, and it doesn't matter how the world is treating you. They might hate you. He still loves you. So often, you and I, we feel loved when the world, friends, people, the situation is all falling into place. Made some friends out there somewhere. Work went well. And when things start going apart, what did I do wrong? God must be really mad at me right now. My life seems to be falling apart. Well, Jesus' life was falling apart. And he told him straight up, the world's going to hate you. We know from history, many of these 11, they were killed for their faith. Their life fell apart. So what I'm going to tell you is, you are loved with this love from beyond, and it doesn't matter whether your life's falling apart or not. It really doesn't. It's not based on that. It's based on the Father from above. And His love is beaming down on you. And whether today is a happy day, a good day, or a total crap day, total falling apart day, you're loved. You are loved with a love from beyond. It transcends how this world is treating us. The love from the Father transcends even the love of casual church attending, believing people. Let's face it, if you and I are going to saddle up this horse and get real serious about Jesus, there's a lot of casual believers, casual followers who are going to look at us and go, aren't you taking this a little bit too far? I mean, really, aren't you? I mean, come on now, everything in moderation. And there's a lot of casual churches floating around here. A lot that it's just kind of, well, don't worry about this. It's not that big a deal. God loves you. It's okay. Don't get so serious about this. They look at us like, man, you're awful wrapped up in this thing, aren't you? You have a prayer stand? Are you kidding me? You'd really, really? I mean, what do? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what other churches think, what other people who go to other churches who have their own religion. Doesn't matter. Your Father loves you with a love beyond that, more than that. Somebody at church is mad at you. Somebody at church is talking about you. It doesn't matter. That's not an indicator of your Father's love for you. He loved you while you were still a sinner. He died for you. All of these things floating around you are not indicators of the love from beyond, even if you have concerned family members. Look, your own family looking at you going, man, they're really overboard with this Jesus thing. Now, I don't have that. My parents are here. Anything that'll help this guy straighten out, they're good, right? So, but I know that some of you will go home to family members who may be a little concerned about how seriously you're taking all this religious stuff. Come on, man, you're not going to bring that into our house. I know you go to church and that's a good thing. And okay, good, but leave it there, man. Don't bring it home. We've got kids and we've got, you know, you've got a spouse and maybe that spouse isn't into it like you are. And you've got concerned family members. There's so many families that get along just fine, thank you, without all your churchy church stuff. Come on, man. Now just, I mean, that's your own little private religion thing there, but don't bring it on. I mean, truthfully, families have broken up over this issue. Families have divorced, split over this. None of it is an indicator how much your Father loves you. And that's where we go. My family's going to pot. God must be mad at me. Friends don't like me anymore. This friend won't hang out with me. God must be mad at me. Lost my job. Lost my money. Lost this. Lost that. The world hates me. They make fun of me. God doesn't love me anymore. What's God? Come on, God. What's I've been going to church. What's happened? And all of that, that's our natural response, is to say, God must really be mad at me right now because things just aren't going my way. And I'm going to say to you, if that's the case, Jesus was not in good shape because everything turned against him in a heartbeat. And he told them, the world hated me and they are going to hate you. They may, he said right here, they're going to throw you out of the synagogue. Some of them, they're going to kill you and think they're doing me a favor. And it was the church of his day. It was the Pharisees and Judaism of his day, the religion of culture of his day that rejected him and killed him. So it's not an indicator. If you're having trouble, things are falling apart, you're not getting along, whether it's family, it's casual church, or its community, it's not an indicator. Your Father loves you with a love from beyond. Beyond all this, it's not horizontal, it's vertical. You are loved with a love beyond recognition. That's my first point. It's a love beyond recognition. We think there are certain indicators where we recognize God's love. Well, if I'm walking with the Lord, everything's going to go right. If I'm walking with the Lord, that person I've been praying about, this relationship is going to start building. It's going to start improving. If I'm walking with the Lord, I'm going to get that job I've been praying about. And we think we recognize things happening that indicate His love. And I'm just saying, this love from the Father is beyond recognition. Now, simple idea here. If you've ever watched a major sports activity, Super Bowl, World Series, golf match, somebody wins, and we're watching, and they go, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for taking me this day. Okay, amen. But what about the losers? You ever hear that? I just want to thank the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we got our butts kicked today. Man, they wiped us off. Us. I mean, did he? What did he do? Did he make them win, make them lose? Well, maybe. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, whether you win or whether you lose, you are loved. With a love beyond recognition. That's what I'm saying. You can't go, well, I won today, so God is happy with me. He's loving me today. No, I lost today. But God still loves you. It's beyond recognition. And you and I want to label everything going on in our life and say, see, that's God's love. See, that's God's love. See, that's God's love. And I'm just saying, I don't think you can do that. I don't think it's consistent, because Jesus was loved by the Father and He died. I mean, He took it for us. He came to earth. He wasn't rich. Didn't have a lot. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. I don't have a bed. I don't think we can label it and look at life looking for God's love. I think it's beyond recognition. And you and I just have to settle on this: I am loved. Deeply, profoundly, beyond where I want to go with love. You are loved. Based on the Scripture, you are loved with a love transcending everything you see here on this planet, beyond recognition. Number two, this phrase is key for us. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. We think activities, circumstances tell us I'm in the Father's love. I say it's beyond recognition. I say you can't do that. This scripture says, if my words, my commands abide in you, you will abide in my love. This presents a real problem for us. Because what Jesus just did was He tied together the love of the Father and the Word of God. The commandments. The word He used was commandments. And He brought those two together. That's a problem for the church today. Tell you why. Commandments, when we speak in the churches today about the commandments, the commandments are often thought of in today's church world as academic, rigid, archaic, legalistic. They think of them as rule-centered sterility, trying to be pure and holy, but we're seen as those people who really dig into the Word of God. They're seen as hard, boring, and unapproachable by those struggling with themselves. So we have this negative view of those people who really plunge into the Word of God. I mean, it's really hard. That person is so narrow in the Word of God, I don't even feel comfortable around them, because I have problems. And they're like trying to do this pure and holy thing. I can't. I've got issues. I'm just going to saddle up a whole bunch of friends that don't even read the Word, maybe don't even go to church, because they're approachable to me. I feel loved when I'm with those people. But those church people, Word of God, Word of God, Word of God says this, Word of God says this. Hey, brother, Word of God says, man, I'm just like, yeah. The commandments, even using that word today, is cold. We don't got to keep the commandments. That's Old Testament. They're helpful, but they're not necessary. Helpful, but don't go overboard with it. It's not necessary. Just love. And then Jesus says, you know what? If these babies stay in you, if you hold them dear, you live them, you try and keep them, walk in them, abide in them, That's the way to my love. You will abide in my love. Stay in this, you stay in my love. He combines the two for crying out loud. The commandments, that cold, hard, sharp word that you and I are like, I'm not a reader. You better be a reader. Read a book yesterday. Do you know how many times a day the average American checks his cell phone? Every 6 minutes, an American checks his cell phone 150 times a day. 150 times a day, on average, we do this. And we are reading something. We are reading a text, an email, a Facebook, something we are reading. But when it comes to the commandments, we're not readers. And Jesus just joined the commandments and love. He just joined the commandments and joy. Here a little bit later on, he just joins the commandments and peace. Chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you're going to have trouble, but I have spoken these things unto you that in me you'll have peace. I've spoken these things that you'll have peace. He just took the word of God and he says, if you hold it dear, treasure it, live it, abide in it, you will stay in my love. Those things don't equal each other. Commandments, cold, hard, academic, legalistic. Love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that soft? Isn't that kind? And that's what I want. Commandments. They go together. You can't separate them. You try and throw the commandments out, you'll never stay in His love. Love, joy, and peace won't happen. You look as hard as you want for love, joy, and peace outside of the commandments. But that's not what He said. If you want love, joy, and peace, you better get in my word. Stay in it. And you will stay in my love. Matter of fact, in this same night, in this same teaching, he says, chapter 16, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. I'm going to help you with this. I know someday this Old Testament is going to become the Old and the New Testament. But I'm going to give you the Spirit, and because I want you to stay in my love, in my joy, in my peace, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. It's to your advantage, and He's going to guide you in it. Because I want you to have it. Love, joy, and peace. And isn't it something that Ephesians chapter 5 says? Verse 22 says this, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Did I give you that verse, Mark? That's crazy. That's crazy. Here, let me do it again. Let me do it again. I don't know what I'm thinking.
I wonder why you gave it.
I know. Mm-hmm. find it. All right, where's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5. Wait. Galatians 5:22. Good. Okay, here you go. Told you I was up till 2:30. If you are led by the Spirit, Galatians 5:18. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and against such there is no law. And the Spirit's going to guide you into truth, into the Word of God, and the fruit the Spirit's going to bear is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. He's going to take the Word of God, and He's going to lead you and guide you into love, joy, and peace. We're doing a huge disservice to the church by telling them the Word of God is helpful, but not necessary. Don't get all hung up on the Word of God. Just love each other. We don't even know how. We don't know the path. He says, here's the path. It's amazing, isn't it? You and I can't fathom in our head. It's beyond recognition. It's beyond definition. This love is beyond definition. I can't define it to you. I can't map it out for you. And He doesn't. He just says to do it. Love each other with agape love through the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Abide there. Live there. Stay there. And it will direct you to this love that we're seeking. I can't define it to you. I can't define it to you. But I can direct you to it. That's what He said. The Spirit's going to help. He will guide you into truth. He will guide you to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. He will guide you to all those soft words, all those comfortable places, by that hard, rigid, academic Word of God. We're stuck. You and I are stuck with the Word of God. If we want it. If we want all those comfortable, happy places, the path is lit with the Word of God. That's it. That's His plan. And the church today in America is running from it. Running from it. Just be kind. Just get along with people. Be tolerant. Word of God, helpful, but not necessary. And I'm telling you, it's essential. Maybe that's why there are so many Christians, church people, so unhappy, so without joy, without peace. Their life looks whole. Their life looks great. Their life looks wonderful on the outside, and they are so not at peace on the inside. And you look at them and you go, what is wrong? You can fit 10 of my houses in your house. Your truck costs more than my house. You've got more food in your refrigerator than I've eaten for 3 weeks. What's wrong? And they are so not at peace. because they're looking for it in the wrong direction. It's in the Word of God. It's through the Word of God. You don't got to run from it, and you don't got to run from those people who are in it and who just want to talk to you about it. Go to them. They're lovingly pointing you to love, joy, and peace. And the Spirit in here, you feel a little uncomfortable? He's pointing you, guiding you into the truth. Because He so loves you, He wants you to know His love, joy, and peace. It's beyond definition, but it's directed. He'll direct us to it. Everything in life, you can't recognize it. One man wins, one man loses. One marriage makes it, one marriage folds. But you're loved. You can't define it, but He'll direct you to it. He'll tell you how to get to it. You discover it. You figure it out. You go get it. It's an amazing thing, this love of God. There's one more. There's one more. He keeps telling them, and He tells us, abide in My love. Abide in My love. Stay in My love. Remain in My love. Does that mean He's going to stop loving us? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He loved the world. He loves the world. Are you with me? He loves the world. He does. God is love. He can't do anything but love. But now we're told to stay, remain, continue in His love. So we've got to hold those two here side by side and look at them. Let's see, God is love. God loves the world. God always loves. Stay, remain in His love. How do we do that? What's that about? Live in His love. Keeping, knowing, soaking. How do we do that? The best way for me to explain that to you is this. Let's just pretend I had several kids. One named Kathy, and one named Amanda. And let's just say I love all my kids. I love all my kids. Got a bunch of them. And so said Kathy, said Amanda, go to school. And I tell them in the morning before they go, when you get home from school, I need you to do this, 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 and this. You do that. You do this, 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 and this. Okay? Good enough. Love you guys. Have a great day. I come home from work. Go look at this one's list. Dun, 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 dun. Room clean, bathroom clean. Da, 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 da. Well done. Look at that. Man, the girl made her bed. It's like military. It's like, what? Her room is clean. I could tell she got under her bed with the vacuum. Hallelujah. She did it. The bathroom, everything is spotless. You excelled at what I asked you to do. Man, we're going to Dairy Queen. Woo-hoo! Give you an extra $10 to put in the gas tank so you can drive all over. Hallelujah. How'd you do? Let's look at your list. Do you call that making the bed? Why is the pillow on the floor? The bathroom? The trash is like, you stuffed it back down in there, but you didn't empty it. I mean, what is going on here? You're staying home tonight. You know, you wanted to go to the roller skating party, but no, you're home tonight. And this weekend, that little activity is out. Do I love them?
Yes.
Love them both. Is one living in my love? Feeling my love? Yes. Is one feeling like, you don't love me no more? Why does she get to go do this? But she's not living in my love. She's living in my anger. She's living in my discipline. We got some things to work on, don't we, girl? We got a little work to do here. It's not going to be fun. I love them both. Absolutely over the top, crazy love my kids. One chooses to stay in my love, to live in my love, remain under dad's love. One says, I think I'm going to try this my own way for a while. That's us. That's what he's telling us. I love you with a love beyond recognition. Don't look around you for everything going right to go, okay, you can't do that. I love you. I can't describe it to you. I'm a human. This love comes from him. I can't describe it to you, but I can direct you to it. It's beyond definition. It really is. The love of God is beyond definition, but he will direct you to it. He loves everybody. He loves sinners. He loves the world. And now he says, you choose to live in my love. In the Word of God. In my commandments. Get my list. Live in it. Experience it. Have a relationship with me. Go to Dairy Queen. Feel it. This is amazing. And you and I won't, because we're not readers, because we've been told it's helpful but not necessary. There's so many pleasures. There's so many joys out there. Do I really got to sit down and try and read this big thing and live it in a world that's gone crazy? And we don't stay in his love, and we feel more like that one who can't go out tonight, who can't go to their activity, who God is just scolding, instead of that one who's living in the pleasures of God's love. Stay in it. I love you. Stay in it. That's the point. There's a big difference. Why do we say things like, well, I can do that. It's not really sin anymore. God just loves everybody. He's good. He loves me anyway. We're not under this legalistic thing anymore. Why do we do that? Abide in my love. Stay in my love. I love you. Stay in my love. I'm always going to love you. Come home next week, she doesn't make her bed again. I still love her. She's my daughter, for crying out loud. I'm never not going to love her. Stay under, living in my love. Know my love. Don't read the word. Don't do what I'm asking. I'm just telling you to do it so you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all them soft, sweet things you want. You just don't want to go that way. You want to shortcut it. Find your own. Avoid my people. Avoid my word. Stay in my love. And when you don't, you don't feel loved. It's a love beyond intuition. That's what I hear all the time. I don't feel loved. I don't think God loves me. It doesn't feel like God loves me. It's my intuition. I don't feel like I just don't feel like God loves me. It's a love beyond your intuitions. You are loved. You are loved with a love beyond this planet. You are loved by your heavenly Father, Creator, who sent a part of Himself to earth to die for you. You are loved. Live in it. Be in it. If you don't, you're probably not going to feel loved. It's beyond your intuitions. It's beyond recognition. Don't look around. Don't look around your circumstances to prove God's love to you. Your Savior died for you. It's beyond definition. I can't explain it. I can only direct you to it. It's what Jesus did. It's a love beyond intuition. It's love beyond feeling and even cognition, if you want to go there. If you don't abide, stay in it, you won't feel loved. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why do we pursue doing things we love, things that will pleasure us? Why is it that humanity, all of us humans here, we pursue things we love, and we get that pleasure, but it's so quickly dissipates? I mean, I just love to, you fill in the blank, fish, hunt, sew, shop, whatever. And there we go. We love that. And 2 hours later, it just seems to fade so quickly. There are some things we love to do, and 2 hours later, we regret entirely having done them. Why is that? I love doing that. Because I think there may be something else with that we're really seeking. I think we're really seeking. We always say we're just looking for love. Maybe in all the wrong places. I think there's something more to this love thing. Jesus said it this way: keep my commandments and abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and I remain in His love, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy be full. See, there's joy that goes with love. I love to fish. I love to golf. I love to... it brings me great joy. But if you do the wrong thing you love, you gain regret. It disappears. In an hour, in 2 hours, you want more. Oh, I went shopping and it was amazing. They had sales and I'm going back tomorrow because the joy faded and I've got to do it again. I love sex. I slept with this lady last night and I'm married and my life just ended. And I love that. Jesus said, abide in my love, stay in my love so that your joy will be full. Full. Not half empty, full. My joy will be in you and your joy will be full. It doesn't end. Stay in my love and your joy cup is always full. Full. You don't have to go do this tonight because your joy is full because of my love. We do things we love, but the joy is not lasting and even regrettable. And that's why we're doing them. We want joy. So, here's a quote for you. It would not be surprising if the more clearly and deeply we know Him, the more authentically and intensely we love Him, and the more we would glorify Him as the sum of all truth and beauty. We know Him more, we love Him more, and we glorify Him more. We bear fruit. Since we are given these capacities, you and I have these capacities of knowing and loving God in order to glorify Him, bear fruit, our aim should be to use both knowing and loving as fully as we can to make much of His truth and beauty and worth. We've been given the capacity to know God through His Word and His Spirit, and by knowing Him more, seeing Him clearer, we are just going to fall deeper and deeper in love with Him, and hence, with the Spirit guiding, we're going to glorify Him and bear the fruit that He's looking for. So we should pursue it both, knowing and loving, with equal fervency. It can't just all fall on the side of love. Love comes through here. We have to become readers and doers of the Word of God. It's the path to love, joy, peace, and fruit, abiding in the vine. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. And I was going to tell you, there's no other way. There is no plan B. There is no other option for staying in His love. There's no other option. That's what Jesus taught. Boy, that just sounds archaic, doesn't it? That just sounds like your grandma's church. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. That's because that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. Be in it, do it, love it, treasure it, love me. Be filled with joy. Be filled with joy. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your definition is, be filled with joy. You are loved. You are loved. But if you're not in the Word of God, you don't know it. You can't see Him. You're looking at your circumstances. You can't feel it. It's beyond your intuitions. Beyond your definitions. Your definition crumbled. Your definition of love was this, and it just went down the sewer. What you thought life was going to look like when you started in with God and you thought He loves me, and your life just fell apart, it just went down the sewer. And I'm telling you, you are loved. You just can't see Him. You just can't see it. Go right there and see Him. See Him real clear. And you're going to see a love beyond all this. Beyond all this. And you're going to love Him back. And glorify Him. Glorify Him. Reap fruit that's going to fill your basket of joy up. You don't got to look anywhere else. Just go right there. Just go right there. No plan B. You're holding it in your lap. It's in the pew. It's there. Go there. Go there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your Word. It's almost too simple, Lord. It's almost too simple for us. Can it be just that easy? Lord, I pray. I pray now, Your Holy Spirit, You said He will guide us into truth. Lord, guide us into truth. Guide this family of believers into Your truth, into Your love, into Your joy, and into Your peace, and we need it. Lord, that's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.